Okay, welcome back. Hour number two on a Wednesday. Thank you for being here. We are here for you, doing our best to try to make sense of this organized chaos and lies and genocide. That's what it is. It's genocide. It's bioweapon genocide. I think most everybody knows it. And if you've watched the stories, this fraud Trump is now trying to paint himself over as being a champion of the people, demanding that Big Pharma release all of their data immediately, just in case there might be something in there that's bad. And come on, he knows what the hell's going on. But he's not going to shake this, "I'm the grandfather of the vax. My warp speed saved 100 million American lives. It's a beautiful vaccine." He's so full of himself, it's not funny. And so he's trying now to put a little political distance between himself and what he has said over and over again for, what, 2 years? Something like that. Long time. You there, partner?
I am, Jeff. Good evening.
You always sound like you're just about to laugh at something. That's nice. Hey, you see?
I'm trying to hold it back.
Yeah, I know. If you all knew the real Erica like I do, she's amazing. She's one of the few people, and I'm not going to blow any smoke here, but she stands on what she says, and she doesn't say anything without really, talk about due diligence. This gal does it in spades. She looks at videos all day. She cross-references. She checks. She pulls papers up. Not patents. Don't buy into that phony stuff. Patent doesn't mean anything works, doesn't mean anything, except somebody copyrighted an idea or a technique. But she does her work, and we are here to try to make it easier for some of you who care to navigate through this horror to get to the other side. And if you're prepared, you will get to the other side in most cases. You will. But you have to understand that shedding and transmission thereof is utterly real and damn dangerous. Don't play games. I'm not trying to be melodramatic here. It's your life is on the line. I'm not saying you're going to die in a day or two or three, but let's say you were going to live another 40 years, and all of a sudden you're only going to live another five or six. That's pretty disgusting.
Well, that is the danger. And until we know what is being transmitted, whether it's actual genetic material that can infect or transfect you, or maybe it's just this noxious protein, but even so, even if it's just a toxic protein, that can set the stage for all kinds of degeneration.
We've made the
inflammation
clear.
And the irritation.
Yes.
That ensues in the body, from the body trying to deal with it, if it can deal with it. The more we learn about this, the more dire it seems.
Remember
when
we brought...
There doesn't appear to be an ability to build a tolerance to it because, well, what they're doing with the vaccines or these intentional releases, they keep generating new versions of the spike. So even if you were to create antibodies to it that would give you some protection or tolerance to one version of it, the next version that comes along, it may or may not be attached with a full virus, could do you in. Because those antibodies
again and
act
again.
As infection-enhancing and disease-enhancing.
This is a DNA weapon, okay? It's a DNA bioweapon.
It's a metabolic poison. It's a genetic poison. There's no benefit to being exposed to it. This idea that you can somehow gain a tolerance to it, I think, is really naive.
Oh, it's deadly. Deadly naive. Yeah.
The best strategy is to mitigate your exposure to it. It's that simple. And, take the things that we believe are known to diminish its biological activity, the things that are known to bind to it so that it can't attach to your receptors. And then there's over 20 receptors that the spike protein K can attach to, the ACE2 being just one of several. That's the main one. That's the one that supports the viral replication. But it can also do damage with 19, 20 others.
We have a little piece that we wrote and posted. It's short. It's called Expiration Dates for Billions of Vaxxed Nearing. And it's short. It's right there in the archive. You can see it. Can you pull that up? Do you see it? I've got it if you don't. It's about six or seven down. Expiration dates.
I see it.
Go ahead and read it. It's excellent.
The fact that the vaxxed have AIDS and very little reserve strength left to respond immunologically too much of anything is one of the biggest factors that is going to do them in. Plus, they have compromised blood that can hardly carry oxygen and is so thick it barely flows, wearing out tired, exhausted hearts decades earlier than they normally would be. Damaged hearts that cannot even generate enough ATP to function normally, let alone under the terminal stress of trying to force sludge blood through obstructed veins and arteries. Kidneys that are clogged with amyloids and cannot filter properly. Fibrotic lungs and livers full of iron, spikes, clots, and wrecked proteins. Their brains drowning in personality and intellect-destroying microclots and misfolded prion proteins. With virtually every other organ in their clotted and clotting bodies stricken to one degree or another with the same end-of-the-road pathways. And to top all of this horror off, their P53 and other tumor-suppressing natural defenses have been crushed by spike proteins, resulting in the growing, horrifying cascade of turbo cancers, which often deliver diagnosis-to-death outcomes in a matter of days or a few weeks. The expiration date of the millions of vax souls, with or without any new variants, is rapidly approaching.
That sums it up. That's where we are right now. That's where we are. That's where billions of people are right now. Billions. And are they going to live a long, normal, healthy life? No. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. That's sad. I wish it were otherwise. But for those of you who have taken this seriously from the beginning, whether you're vaxxed, and we have many vaxxed friends out there, and unvaxxed, so-called, and I use the term vaxxed just because it's common, and people understand it, you can have a better quality of life if you've been vax-injured. And even if you're symptomatically free of any injuries, you're in trouble. The stuff's at work in your system. The new booster is coming out next week. We've been saying 2 to 4 weeks, I have, but it looks like Erica found a story. It's coming out in about a week or less. And we have seen many people who would otherwise seemingly be intelligent saying that they can't wait to get this new booster or something similar to that. What do you give us more on that? What are you seeing out there?
I noticed in one of the Reddit groups that there was quite a bit of chatter about it. And then the other day, I read one in the practitioner group. Now, this is not a practitioner herself. I believe it's a relative. Let me see if I can find it. Let's see.
ABC News, COVID-19 booster shots expected as early as next week. The shots are expected to protect against severe disease and death. No, they're expected to cause severe disease and death. This is a joke. Up is down, black is white. They are just twisting words and having a semantic field day, a party.
Yeah, let's see. I've got it right here. Practitioner says, this was in response to a Fox News report of a high school quarterback rushed to the hospital who collapsed on the field and died. And, you know, we've seen so many of these now.
He was in the game.
Yeah, yeah. This person says, at some point, even those completely asleep and brainwashed will have to admit something isn't quite right. My adult son was talking about a great uncle on his dad's side who has had one COVID infection after another, cancer, and was just in the ER for another COVID infection. But don't worry, he's getting the new booster since the first 50 shots haven't helped him yet. Sadly, there's no hope for many in this world. And one reply to that, so sad but true. Cognitive dissonance on top of media brainwashing are the number one culprits here. How can so many people readily admit that they've been scammed and took part in this horrific experiment, or even worse, as a healthcare provider, admit they've played a role in harming or even killing millions upon millions of people? First one says, it is very sad. My sister is an OB nurse and is fully jabbed. She was diagnosed with bilateral blood clots in her legs earlier this summer. She can't wait to get the new booster. We can't help those that refuse to open their eyes. It has been hard, but she thinks I'm crazy, so there's no hope for getting her to see the truth. Makes me nervous to see what life looks like for many in 5 years. A third person says, my sister was a home health nurse manager until January 2021. She had one dose of Moderna and has not been able to work since. She had an anaphylaxis reaction initially and then progressed into functional neurological disorder with dissociative seizures and has not lived a normal life since.
See?
It's so sad to see a 41-year-old professional female, a mother, a nurse who loved nursing, helped a lot of patients and a lot of young nurses, now completely debilitated, living day to day, waiting on the next seizure event.
It's basically waiting to die. This is horrible.
Oh, there's no quality of life.
None there. You watch the suicide rates. They're already going up. I don't know if we'll get legitimate stats on them or not, but a lot of people are just saying, I'm 70 years old. I don't need this. I've been injured severely. I don't need this quality of life for me. It's not worth it. I'm out of here. And they'll just check out.
Well, a lot of the young ones, too. Evidently, in that REACT 19 group, which is a organization dedicated to vax injured and getting them treatment, putting them in touch with providers that can help, they are still seeing a lot of people committing suicide.
And one other footnote on Trump. Don't let him get away with this. Don't let him grease his way out of this crap. He is literally responsible for the deaths of many, many people. Many people. Because of his pushing of this death shot.
Well,
here's the ABC.
Endorsement.
Oh, God. It makes me sick. They're all disgusting. Here's the ABC News story. It's just a minute and 20 seconds. So let's see what they say. I haven't heard this. Let's find out what they're saying.
We're now to breaking news about the upcoming COVID booster and the new RSV warning, just as millions more kids head back to school. And Ariel Reshef is back with more on that. Nice to see you again, Ariel.
Nice to see you guys again. Some big headlines to break down for you. Moderna just announcing results for its new COVID booster. The vaccine maker reporting nearly a nine-fold increase in antibodies against the Omicron subvariant BA286. Many scientists had expressed concern about these boosters' effectiveness. Given all of the mutations of this variant, the booster could become available as soon as late next week. It comes as new COVID hospitalization numbers are up nearly 16% in the last week. Still, hospitalizations are far below the peak of the pandemic. And as we head into fall, another headline, a warning about the rise in RSV. The CDC concerned about the uptick in RSV cases in the Southeast in recent weeks. Experts say if pre-pandemic trends return, the respiratory illness will likely spread north and west over the next 2 to 3 months. Young children and older adults are most at risk for developing severe symptoms. A vaccine is now available for people over age 60. A shot for infants under 8 months will be available starting in the fall. And a vaccine for women who are 32 to 36 weeks pregnant is expected to be available soon. So some new tools to fight against these viruses, guys.
My lap.
Perfect. Yeah, 36 weeks pregnant. Let's get lots of shots. Let's load them up. I need that RSV. I got to protect my baby.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know which one they're giving to pregnant women. I know the over 60 version is a protein subunit, so it's just a piece of the virus which has been grown in these moth cells. And then the one they're giving to infants is actually monoclonal antibodies. So they're calling it a vaccine, but really it's just antibodies.
Interesting. Well, there were several different kinds of monoclonal antibodies that they were all pulled. There were six, I think, and they pulled five of them off the market for some reason. There's just one left that's available to the public under CDC guidelines of being acceptable. I don't know.
Well, they can make monoclonal antibodies to any antigen. It's just, you know, it depends on what are you looking to neutralize. So I think there were a couple that they had available for the SARS-CoV-2 virus, and it has to be the nucleocapsid to be a viable monoclonal. And I don't know why they pulled it. Maybe it was too successful or something.
Hmm. I don't know either. That's odd.
I may be mistaken. I may be thinking of the convalescent plasma.
Well, the news reporter said RSV. I think she was talking at one point about getting RSV and a warning about that, too. Here,
yes.
Look, no more needles, okay? No more voluntary, no more elective needles in your body. Don't do it. You don't need anything they have. You do not need anything they have.
No, it just makes everything worse.
There's one thing I'm trying to look up here. Hold on, I think I saw a picture in this story, and if I'm right, well, I'm not going to find it easily here. Maybe I will. Let's see, 141. There was a picture, they were showing needles being injected into people's arms, and I think it was about 43. Let me see. And one of the images was a hand, but it didn't have a syringe in it. And it was up next to an arm. And I think somebody put it in there intentionally. This is ABC News now. And what was being held in the injector's hands was a large wood screw. Get the picture? You're getting screwed. And that went in there. It was about 1 second of this picture. Let's see if I can find it again. I can't. This is a classic if it is. Hold on. Jeff is looking. Nah, I'll have to go look again later. But it was a screw. I saw it. So I think the producer of this ducked in a little subliminal warning because it came and went real quick. There it is. Oh, there it is. Hold on. I got to get my magnifying glass out. It's a screw. Somebody put a picture in there. It's at 34 seconds on that ABC News story, and that is a screw. They're injecting, you know, a screw into somebody instead of a syringe. Well, it's a little, somebody's heroic on the inside and trying to get the word out. Okay, thanks for indulging my little look-see there. That was funny. Okay, we have another story here. Now, this is a very important one for a lot of reasons. A study author doctor says, you may have gotten over COVID and forgotten about it. You're all well, you recovered, it came and went. Quote, but COVID didn't forget about you. It is still wreaking havoc in your body up to 2 years later. Now that is very interesting, and I don't know. Did you get a chance to read that study?
I've known that for a while now. I mean, that's one of the explanations for long COVID,
right,
is the idea of this viral persistence. And whether it's actual low levels of virus that's still present and maybe replicating, or just leftover what they call apoptotic debris, dead cells that had been infected and now need to be eliminated. But because they contain the viral proteins, they're still somewhat of an irritant to the immune system. So it's really not a surprise that it could take up to 2 years to fully recover from this.
I agree. Here's the story. Experts issue urgent death warning to anyone who has had COVID in the last 2 years. New research shows that anyone infected with COVID, the virus, is at an increased risk of dying for up to 2 years after catching the bug, as cases are on the rise across the country. Now, this may well be part of the fear porn campaign, okay, to drum up paranoia, to get people to roll up their sleeves. I've been rolling up my sleeve all day in preparation, getting ready. I've got it real quick now. New research shows that anyone infected with the bug are at increased risk of dying for up to 2 years after catching it. Most Brits have already had COVID since the pandemic began, with many being infected more than once, especially those who have taken the shots. Mm-hmm. Following the UK's mass vaccine rollout, many Brits have a level of protection against the virus, but now scientists in the US warn that those who have had the virus are at a higher risk of dying than those who have not. The new study published in Nature Medicine discovered that as far as 2 years after the infection, people who were hospitalized with the virus have a greater chance of death. The same group also face a higher risk of severe health issues, injuries like lung disease and diabetes, as well as general fatigue or long COVID. After 2 years following infection, the risk of death seems to decline, the study shows. So the story will be up in headlines this evening. There's another one.
Well, I guess, you know, I don't know. You have to wonder how much this medical countermeasure is contributing to this. Would these people who had it maybe early on still be at that heightened risk had this leaky, shedding vaccine not been introduced? You know, there's no question the virus can do a lot of damage to the cardiovascular system, the endothelium and the various components in the blood, you know, depending on which organs it ravages.
Don't forget, spike protein is a part and parcel of viral infection. Don't forget that.
Yes, but nowhere near the magnitude the vaccine.
If you really want to have a party, think Novavax, right? There's a spike party to end all spike parties. And if you're new and you don't know, the Novavax vaccine is composed of 100% spike protein. That's all it is. How insane.
And it's had its share of adverse events, and myocarditis being one of them.
Right. Exactly. Okay. A quick note from Dr. Pierre Corey says that the New York Times Guide to Fall Vaccine Shots, what a wonderful thing for the Times to put out, is disinformation. Well, good for Pierre. He's right again. So the New York Times, caring about all of its readers, put out a guide to fall vaccine shots, a how-to guide. Nice. All right. Now, we came across something, and we've had this lady on before, Dr. Jancy Lindsay, J-A-N-C-I-L-I-N-D-S-A-Y, Dr. Jancy Lindsay. Tell us more about Jancy.
She is a toxicologist. She has her own company, consulting company, that does toxicology work. And she's been speaking out against these gene transfections masquerading as vaccines from the beginning. You know, her radar was up on these things and been watching what's happening very carefully. And every now and then she turns up for an interview, and they tend to be quite informative. And this one she did about a month ago. I don't have the name of the program here.
It's called...
It's on Rumble.
The program is called Catarano and Ricks. It's two people.
Okay,
Catarano and Ricks.
Yep.
Whatever. So we want to always acknowledge people when we can. So this is their interview of Dr. Jancy Lindsay. All right. So here we go. You ready?
Ready.
Got your seatbelt on?
Yep.
All right.
Well, I was speaking in Mississippi for Dr. John Witcher, who had started the group Mississippi Against Mandates, which was simply a group of doctors that stood up and said, we don't believe in vaccine mandates, and we're going to stand behind our beliefs. And then once we found out how dangerous the genetic vaccines were, they wanted to take this to their legislators in an effort to get them pulled. So many of us spoke in Washington, D.C. at Senator Johnson's meeting in December to warn people about the lack of safety and the lack of efficacy of these genetic vaccines. And in the interim, a researcher, a genomist, who worked on the Human Genome Project at MIT, Kevin McKernan, found that the shots were contaminated with some bacterial products. You know, many of you know that medical products, all kinds of products, get pulled off the market if they're contaminated with bacterial products. That's adulteration and contamination, and all states in the country have laws against keeping products that have bacterial components at high levels in the consumer product stream.
And Jancy, if I could interject, so how did that bacterial contamination get in there? Is that part of the process that they're using? Is it just kind of bred in the mix, the soup mix that they got, that it just happens? What's going on there?
Yeah, so it is part of the manufacturing process, but there's a little more to it because there's some intrigue. We'll set it out there like a mystery novel for you, because if these particular contaminants, which are called DNA plasmids, DNA is not supposed to be in the mRNA shots. If it is there, it's only supposed to be there at infinitesimal levels. These are DNA plasmids. They're self-replicating pieces of circular DNA.
Like a million questions as you're talking, but why would DNA plasmids be part of a so-called vaccine?
The DNA plasmids are like viruses for bacteria, and they replicate inside these bacteria and make billions of copies of themselves. So if you want to make a lot of something, you take your gene of interest and you incubate it with these circular plasmids, and they will take it up into their genetic sequence and make billions of copies for you. It's like a copy machine. They make copy, 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 copy. And then you cut it out at the end and purify it away from all the bacterial sludge. And that's what, and then you reverse transcribe it. So you get your RNA, and that's what you inject in people.
So it's part of the process to replicate so that they can make billions of batches of vaccines. Is that the idea?
It is part of the process, but there's a caveat. There's something in there that is not necessary for their replication and for them to make this in bacteria, and that's what has us all scratching our heads. They should only have something that allows them to infect the E. coli that they're grown in and make lots of copies of themselves, but they have something else. They have a promoter that allows them to infect human cells, and that promoter is an SV40 promoter from the simian virus that is known to cause cancer. They also have an SV40 enhancer sequence that takes the genetic sequence of the spike and takes it directly to the nucleus where it can integrate. Plasmids are used, the other use for plasmids in molecular biology is when you want to integrate something into the genome for gene therapy, if you want it to be a permanent integration. So now we have these plasmids that are ostensibly just supposed to be there to make copies of the sequence that instead also have an SV40 sequence from a virus that's cancer-causing and an enhancer sequence that takes the payload right to the nucleus of your cells. And it's in these plasmids and it's in these shots at 20 to 35% of the entire contents of the shot.
Has this ever been in another vaccine? Has this process or this outcome ever been seen in another vaccine or medicine?
No.
This is
no. This is the first time that this has been, well, gene, it's the first time gene therapy has been unleashed on man. There are lots of articles that I can provide for you, lots of cautionary tales about all the problems that we had with gene therapies, primarily cancers, leukemias that would turn up, you know, 2 to 4 years later after the gene therapy was initiated, not right away. We're seeing cancers come up right away. There's also two antibiotic resistance genes that are used to select these plasmids out.
Okay, this is important. Antibiotic resistance genes. Whoever built this in the lab, and we know they've all been built in the lab, inserted genes that will stop antibiotics, two key antibiotics, from being able to work in your body. The mechanism, Erica can explain. But you, once you get these shots, no longer can use two key antibiotics and expect any kind of reaction or response from them. You are genetically disqualified.
Well, they use these antibiotic resistant genes to, in the production process, so that when they're generating these plasmids, you want to select the plasmids or the bacteria that are producing the gene of interest. So you use an antibiotic to kill off the ones that don't have an antibiotic resistant gene, and therefore you end up with the plasmids that you want, or the bacteria that are producing the plasmids that you want. Again, these are things that should be removed. They should be splicing out or copying the mRNA and then splicing out the unnecessary genes and not allowing them to be incorporated into the final product. And clearly the fact that every vial sampled so far has had a similar amount of these DNA contaminants, and it's both plasmids and linearized, broken up
right.
DNA,
right.
Present in what, 20 to 35%?
Something like that.
And the plasmids, she is correct when she said that they are used for gene so-called therapy. When you mm-hmm. want to modify mm-hmm. the DNA, you right. send in one of these plasmids to override your DNA. It doesn't have to necessarily be integrated, but it can be attached to the DNA in a way that it becomes permanent and can be turned on and off based on the promoters or silencers around it. I'm using the wrong term, but anyway, it's dire. It's dire. It sounds like to me that it was intentional. I don't see how you could explain away the fact that it's there consistently in every vial tested over the span of 2.5 years, because some of the vials that were tested were from the original first batches, and they're present in the boosters.
This, if you all remember, a couple of months ago now, when Dr. Kevin McKernan came up with this plasmid issue. We spent a lot of time on that. You can find it in our archives and play it and get a very good understanding of what this is. It's just another of the almost, it's like a Medusa head. These tentacles of death are just numerous, and they go all over the place. They run the gamut of anti-life takedowns of your body's crucial, essential biophysiological programs. It breaks them up. It destroys them. This is awful. All right, here we go.
From other, you select the bacteria that took up the plasmids apart from other bacteria, and that's kanamycin and neomycin. These resistance genes within the plasmid can be transferred to people so that their bacteria in their gut and their cells are now resistant to treatment with kanamycin and neomycin. Kanamycin is used to treat tuberculosis. Neomycin is a broad-spectrum antifungal. So for all the billions of people that got injected, and this contamination was found in every single vial of Pfizer and Moderna that Kevin McKernan tested. Every vial had this contamination with these plasmids that have the ability to infect your human cells, not just E. coli, and go straight to the nucleus of your cells.
So I got my, here's what my common sense analysis of everything you tell me, and I'm visualizing like this mechanism and all these pieces. I could imagine if there was one result, something resulted negatively that was in there that maybe they didn't expect, you know, unintended consequences, right? But when I see all these pieces kind of together, I see a well-designed machine. And is that correct? It's like a well-designed machine.
Well, welcome to the club. The spike protein alone is the deadliest well-designed machine ever unleashed on humankind. This thing is unbelievably sophisticated and unbelievably deadly and evil. It is.
And it doesn't seem to have anything positive that could result from this well-designed machine.
I personally believe they're DNA vaccines, not mRNA vaccines.
Well, she's right, but they're DNA bioweapons. They're not vaccines at all. They cannot act as a vaccine. It's not possible. So that label needs always to be qualified.
I was going to say, is there a chance in heck that there was some well-intentioned reason to put all that kind of machinery together and technology together?
Is there a chance in hell that this could be a well-intentioned project to build this machine? This gentleman may be a very nice guy, but he's been living in the dark. This thing is a stone-cold, deadly killer. And no, there's no well-intentioned anything in there.
In the vaccine, the way it exists now, that they had a reason for it that just didn't work out right?
No, because of the hidden SV40 sequences. They actually hid the SV40 sequences in the plasmid maps that they provided to the EMA. And this is called process 2. So what they gave everybody in the clinical trials was process 1, made clean and neat on a synthesizer, which didn't involve bacteria at all.
And that was bad enough, right? We had a lot of
that was bad. That was bad enough.
Bad enough. So then they doubled down and made it worse. It sounds like you're saying.
Then they realized they couldn't scale up in that short period of time to give everybody the vaccine. Okay. And so they went to the other process. And I want to bring CC in here, too, to not get super bogged down in the science. Actually, I think CC knows this. I'm going to let her explain the process 1, process 2.
Well, so, I was going to say, to talk about your well-oiled machine, I think it was a big plan because the surge at the southern border, for example, the number one disease they're bringing over is tuberculosis. now we're possibly creating, you know, thousands and thousands of people that'll be resistant to kanamycin, which is used to treat tuberculosis. So that, I think this is all by design. I mean, there's no reason for the SB40 to be in there anyway.
Can you explain it. That?
Okay, you get the idea. This is just another example of people two and a half years behind the curve of information. Not Dr. Jancy Lindsay, but the host of the program. And these people, you know, I'm glad they're having these intelligent, important doctors and scientists on. But they should be more well informed. And after all this time, no, they should know. It's just silly. All right. Anything you want to add to that? She's very pragmatic, nuts and bolts. Good. She's a good,
yeah,
good PhD.
Very, very factual, very accurate.
Yeah.
So any time you see an interview with her, it's definitely worth watching.
She's a PhD. All right. Make sure we got that. Okay. We are way behind in our readers for you, so we might want to jump into that. A couple quickies here. Gates says, he's quoted as saying, people who resist the coming mRNA vax tsunami will be excluded from society. Somebody's paraphrasing him there. But that's basically how they're looking at this. You either conform or you're going to be excluded. Exempt, shut off, your digital currency will be shut off, whatever. All kinds of things they can do to make life beyond miserable for those who refuse. And what they did, though, and we never want to forget this, is they built in to this whole operation shedding. That's how they planned to collect the people who refused the injections. And they're doing very, very well with that. We're seeing people now unvaxxed, uninjected, dying from the same classic profiles and platforms of vax injuries from the shot. So there's no question about it. They built this in too. They knew. They knew how to do it.
And there's still not a lot of talk about it.
No.
You know, that study that came out, what was it, University of Colorado, Anschutz Medical School? The one that talked about the antibodies turning up in children who were living in vaxxed households. And that Mikolai Rashik, who his YouTube channel is Merogenomics, did a short clip on that this week, reviewing that study. And he said he wished that when they collected their sample, what they did is they took the exhalations that had accumulated in a mask, I think, was it from in the kids? And they
it's children,
detected, yeah, in the children. So that's how they collected their specimens. It was exhalations from these kids, and they specifically looked for antibodies, and they found them. But he pointed out, and this is a very good point that he made: why didn't they look for the exosomes containing spike?
Mm-hmm.
Because just finding the antibodies. Well, whose antibodies are they? Mm-hmm. Are they from the parents or the other members that are vaxxed in the household, or did the children generate these antibodies? We don't know. But if they had gone one step further and looked for the actual spike, well, then, I don't know, we'd have more information. We'd at least have confirmation that the spike is being shed. But did they deliberately not look for the spike and kind of spin this into a positive thing that, you know, we could have passive immunity? We're getting antibodies from the vax, so therefore we're protected.
Right. Right.
So
very
there
good.
Have
they
been.
They didn't go far enough, but I think
intentionally so. I don't think they, if they were to confirm that spike is being shed and can make people that are not vaxxed sick, in some cases very sick, in some mm-hmm. cases die. Well, they have a lot to answer to, as if they don't already.
So many do. And the chances of holding any of these people, Big
no.
Al Bourla, Stefan Boncel, see those people held accountable. Don't hold your breath. It's no. all rigged now. And every day I look at these news stories and I see a school board here or there doing outrageous things. They just, one school board in California, got, this is a school board. They hired a drag queen who had an arrest record of drugs and I forget something else, totally unfit. And they made this person, I guess the school board director that was the boss. Well, anyhow, if you people want to do anything out there in your local communities, go after your school board and vet every one of those people.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
get rid of the communists. That's what they targeted years ago. And they took over the school board and they took your child's future and your child's mind away and programmed it. It's horrible. All right, we just have about four or five minutes. Any of these readers you want to jump into real quick that are particularly relevant?
We've got a lot going back to last week even, but
we need to clean these up. They're really good and important, many of them. August 30th, we've got
something.
Shedding sickness, shedding getting worse. August 30th, broken bones and bad teeth. All right, what do you want?
Any one of
let's
them.
See what shedding gets getting worse. All right, let's see what we got.
I think
here.
We did.
It is.
I think we did that word.
Did we?
You would know.
Okay, Carita. I think this is one you read to me. Carita.
Okay, that could be it. Yes.
Carita said, and that's shedding getting worse. Okay.
What date?
August 30th.
Okay.
Number four. All right. Shedding getting worse. Carita says, is it only me or is shedding worse? When these jabs first rolled out, I got horrible gastro symptoms and now they are back. I just started Cilicia and let's hope it helps. I've started to get stabbing pain under my ribs and in my upper abdominal area when any vax person comes near me. Home, alone, I'm fine. Cilicia has now helped a lot. Has anyone also experienced something similar? First time this happened, I was sure I had gallstones or something like that. I have celiac disease, too, so I was thinking also maybe I've gotten accidentally gluten intolerant. So anyway, she's confused. But she's thinking, right, she's thinking being around the vaxxed may be causing her trouble. All right, go ahead.
Response. I get pain in my right side. I can't even go outside where I live. Every time I go outside, I get pain in my right side. It feels like there is an object poking me inside my body. I was thinking that something is wrong with my gallbladder. I'm recovering from going outside the other day. I am thinking I may definitely have to move if this doesn't end. It is difficult to do that because of shedding. I'm trying to figure out how to work all of this out. I'm using natokinase again. The pain radiates down to my foot. Natokinase has helped this in the past.
And going back
natokinase is known to dissolve the spike and also dissolve the clotting, some of the clotting. So it's a two-for-one with natokinase.
Amyloid or blood? I'm going to be specific
blood,
on that.
Blood. Well, it goes after fibrin, and fibrin
okay. That's
is
usually
a part
blood.
Of that.
Yeah. All right. Here's the last one in this little series. And remember, Carita said, is it only me or is shedding getting worse? And the third response, I have had lots of GI upset recently also. Last night, a few minutes after I ate, I felt like I had gluten intolerance bothering me. I do not have the celiac gene. Haven't eaten gluten for 15 years because I am a gluten intolerant. I took activated charcoal. It really helped as I got an instant headache and nausea after eating. And the second response, it is shedding. the whole family could benefit from weekly detox baths. Well, if your husband is vaxxed and you are sexually active, he has vaccinated you. And that is correct. And again, these people who ask, they come into the group and some of them say, I'm not vaxxed, but if I have sex with a vaxxed person, am I going to get in trouble? And you have a lot of people out there who do not understand. Yes, you're going to get in trouble, and it could be fatal. Sex can kill now when you're messing around with your vaxxed opposite. So there we go. Anything you want to add? These are, we're going to do probably on Friday. We might have Nurse Anne, but if not, we're going to do a, get caught up on a lot of our people stories, and these are very important.
No, there's so many barometer. So many people being affected by this now.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else?
No. That should do it.
How about the paramedics? What's going on?
Lately, it's been quiet. I wouldn't say quiet, but just it seems to have simmered down a bit. Mm-hmm. I think we're getting a surge in fentanyl calls.
Hmm.
Yeah.
In the liberal New England area?
There's that on top of this.
Well, uh-huh. Okay.
Well, that stuff is lethal now. Well, you know, the way it's being cut with xylazine.
Yeah, animal tranks. Listen, here's the other thing. Understand that the whole fentanyl thing is war on the United States population, the civilian population being prosecuted, perpetrated, conceived, and launched by the Chinese communists. Mm. Don't forget it. This is all coming from the CCP operations, bringing it in here. They are trying to take this country down, and they're doing a hell of a job of it. So don't be fooled. Okay, great job. Talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
Okay. All right, gang, we'll be right back. Next up, David Oates. We're going to wrap up this Karen Kingston thing. And oh, my, wait until you hear what reverse speech shows us about Karen Kingston. Back in a minute.